Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is 9:08 on a Wednesday night. Happy Hump Day. There at News Radio, 830 WCCO. And that northwest winds is going to cool things down. The dew points are going to drop. And as you heard a moment ago, comfortable on Thursday. Comfortable again on Friday, then downright hot on Saturday again. Twins idle, they'll be on the road at Houston. Loons idle, they're home to Atlas FC at TCF Bank Stadium Saturday night. And the Lynx are on the road, they'll be in Phoenix. Be warm there on Friday night and return to St. Paul. Speaking of St. Paul, at some point will St. Paul have a rail link between downtown and the airport and Mall of America? Well, we're going to find out about that tonight here on the Jordana Green Show. We're pleased to be joined by Rafael Ortega, Ramsey County Commissioner and Chairman of the Ramsey County Regional Railroad Authority and Riverview Corridors Policy Committee. Commissioner Ortega, good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks so much for joining us. Pleased to be joined by Mike Rogers, manager of the Ramsey County Regional Rail. Mike, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Mike, let's start with you. I saw an article that said a light rail line between downtown St. Paul and the airport and ultimately Mall of America really isn't in the cards. And if something were to happen, that potentially a streetcar could jump into that void. Tell us why and why a streetcar might be a good fit.
Yeah, and the real reason out there is because we're trying to be sensitive to what can fit best within the community and the neighborhood that's out there. And when we look at light rail for the region, it tends to be 100% dedicated corridor like it is on University Avenue, where the tracks are in the middle of the street, and it's hard to get across them in certain instances. So when we looked at this, we said it's a narrower right-of-way. The community is different along West 7th than it is along University Avenue. So let's take an open mind and look at different options. And streetcar came up as one where you could get a rail option in the corridor, but it was significantly more flexible. The vehicles tend to have the option to be a little shorter. You don't need as many of them based on ridership. And people can drive their cars, or buses can drive the cars right on top of the same tracks that the streetcar is using in the street.
All right.
So it provides a lot more flexibility.
All right, Commissioner Ortega, what about your thoughts on this matter about making some sort of transit option between downtown St. Paul and ultimately the airport and Mall of America? Is it important for the community to make something work?
Well, it's extremely important for St. Paul and for the entire East Metro area, because it would be beginning at the Union Depot, which will be the hub for the Gold Line and the Rush Line, which are now in the process of being complete, moving into the development stage. And it would connect the city to the airport and to the mall. Now, what it does is provide transit for those that are dependent on transit to obtain jobs at both the mall and the airport, which, quite frankly, as we speak now, more than half of the folks that work at the airport are St. Paul residents. And we like to make sure we continue that trend. But even more importantly is the demographics for our community along West 7th. As we get more elderly, we have areas where we have up to 40% of the community in certain swaths of West 7th are at the poverty line. So these transit-dependent communities need to get connected to employment, to health services, and it becomes critical as we move forward that we be competitive. And as you well know, that the younger generation, the millennials, are very pro-transit. And I just finished coming from a young professionals community event where they were networking, and the number one question they asked is, why aren't we getting rail? And I had to explain to them that we have streetcar as one of the alternatives, one of the six alternatives as we study it further.
All right, Mike Rogers, once again, manager, Ramsey County Regional Rail. Maybe you can spell out some of those other options. Light rail taken off the table because of the corridor you mentioned. Streetcar could be one option. I understand enhanced bus service could be another option on the table.
Yes. So other than streetcar, the other mode option or vehicle option is a bus option, which is called arterial BRT. It's very similar to what's running on Snelling Avenue right now. And essentially what it is you take the existing bus service and you make better stations, make off-board fare collection. You try and give them some priority at traffic signals so they can get a green quicker or a green holds longer so that they can improve their travel time. So it's an enhancement of the local bus service, but it's no dedicated lanes. It's a lower level investment, but it can also do a good job of moving people.
What about frequency of service? Would there be more regularly scheduled service throughout the day or 7 days a week?
The service would, as being proposed, would be every 10 minutes, 20, or not 24 hours a day, but 7 days a week. And the service would probably be about 22 hours a day, and it would get to be about a half hour in those late night and early morning hours. The difference with this corridor from some others is, as Commissioner Ortega mentioned, the airport, it's such a big draw and it's a 24-hour operation. So it tends to drive a lot more service needs at off hours that you normally wouldn't have if you think about more of a traditional 9-to-5 work time or commute time.
And Commissioner Ortega, I know funding is a big part of this, not only ultimately Ramsey County, but the state of Minnesota and the federal government are heavily involved in transit projects like this. And it takes a long time to plan and get these things ultimately from the idea phase into service.
Well, that's why we are very much following the process to get federal funding. And for some folks who are impatient and very pro-transit, they would like us to start doing something right away. But we are following the process, the federal process, because eventually the goal is, just like we did on Green Line and on the Blue Line, where the federal government comes in and pays 50% of the bill. And the process we're following now has us committed to doing a good job at community engagement, to look at not just ridership and cost effectiveness, but to look at the environmental and social justice issues and where the impact is best for the folks that need transit. So the goal here is to continue on that process. We've done it before, so it's not unfamiliar to us. We feel very good about what we're doing. We've had great community engagement. We will continue to have community engagement because that is probably the most difficult piece of the process, and that is to engage the community and to build some kind of consensus on how to move forward.
Yeah, and Mike Rogers joining us, once again, manager, Ramsey County Regional Rail. Streetcar has a certain amount of appeal. It caught my eye. I was born in St. Paul, and when I was 9 years old, family moved to the northern suburbs for my dad's job. But I have strong ties to the city of St. Paul, and streetcar has a certain appeal to it. And this people think streetcars and they think of San Francisco, but this is modern streetcar. And I think there's, lack of a better term, a certain amount of sex appeal associated with it.
I would agree with that. And it tends to be what shows up across the region and throughout the country is that when you put something in that's rail based, your ridership is much better than a bus system would have. It is that feeling of I know where it's going to go. It can't deviate off these tracks. I know where the stops are going to be, so I can't get dropped off somewhere I'm not familiar with where it is, and I know where it's going to be when I want to come back and take it in a different direction. So I would agree with you that there's a desire to use rail because it's easier for people to understand than what a bus route could be that tends to be a little bit more flexible and not as defined.
And the Union Depot, Commissioner Ortega, is such a great starting point for new transit projects. It is a real gem. This is a reuse of a grand old facility that's really become a gem in downtown St. Paul.
Well, you know, and not only that, it's probably the only depot left in the state of Minnesota that's functioning, for its original intent. And for us in St. Paul in the East Metro area, as we work with the Gold Line from Woodbury to the Union Depot and from White Bear to the Union Depot with the Rush Line, all those connections come to the Union Depot. So it will in the future become even more viable, along with a second train from Chicago, which is pretty much imminent very shortly. So yes, we're very proud of the Union Depot, and it's, you know, we purchased it and renovated it to be a transit hub, and that vision, that dream is coming true.
Yeah, and we've seen tremendous things already out of Lower Town. CHS Field, the home of the Saints, redevelopment, residential, retail, restaurants. It really has been a magnet, hasn't it?
I have represented the 5th District, which includes all of downtown, for over 20 years. And I got to tell you, 20 years ago, there were maybe 4,000 residents in downtown St. Paul. You could, we're coming close to, we're more than double that. We're like at 10, 11,000 people. But more importantly, the vitality, that part of the city was so isolated. And the community was working hard to get things going. And a lot of the developers in the business would tell you that Union Depot was the catalyst that gave them the incentive to come in and invest in Lower Town.
Mike, what's the next step in this process toward establishing maybe what will be the way forward between downtown St. Paul and ultimately the airport and Mall of America?
Yeah, so tomorrow is the Policy Advisory Committee meeting, and at that meeting, the Policy Advisory Committee will take up the Technical Committee's recommendation on narrowing the 10 or the 16 alternatives by 10 down to 6. All that information will be sent out to the public and said, these are the 16 alternatives. These are the 6 that make the most sense. We will take public comment through the middle of August specifically on that. We'll present that public comment back to our policy committee in September. In October, they'll be asked to narrow it down to one vehicle and one route so that we can go and do another public hearing in November and make a final decision on what the locally preferred alternative is or that final vehicle and that final route in December. That locally preferred alternative would then get advanced into environmental work.
And Commissioner Ortega, I'm sure throughout this process, you want as much community input as humanly possible. You want people to be involved.
I surely do. I think it's the most critical piece of the work. You know, we've learned from our experience in the other two lines, and it behooves us to take our time and really engage the community. In the long run, we are certain that is the shortest route to getting this done, because once we've educated the community and they know fact rather than fiction, then we could have good discussion, good debates, and make better decisions. And I'm very happy with the work we've done over the last 2 years with the community, because it's been very engaging. It takes time. You have to be patient to make sure that they get as much information as possible. And that's the process. That's the route we've taken. And I think that we're going to see that this is going to develop, I think, at a much more solid and, at the end, I believe, quicker than we've developed the other lines.
All right. Well, Commissioner Rafael Ortega and Mike Rogers, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Yes,
thank
thanks
you
for having us.
All right. Have a good evening. And by the way, gentlemen, Mike, maybe you can jump in. How do people get more info on the project?
They can go to our website, riverviewcorridor.com. They can also go to our Facebook page. We have a Riverview Corridor Facebook page. They can call the Ramsey County Regional Railroad Authority at 651-266-2760 and be put in touch with any staff that are out there.
Outstanding. Have a good evening. Once again, Mike Rogers and Commissioner Rafael Ortega joining us. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Brad Ryder of the Timberwolves is going to join us. Great community project coming up. They're going to refurbish outdoor basketball courts around the area, thanks to U.S. Bank. We'll get into that with Brad in a moment. 9:27 here on a Wednesday night. Steve in for Jordana. Kevin Reed, our studio coordinator. Twins idle, Lynx idle, Loons are idle. Lynx back at it Friday night in Phoenix. They host the Mercury Sunday in St. Paul at the X. Twins come out of the break. They'll be at Houston on Friday night. And the Loons, they get Atlas FC out of Mexico Saturday night at TCF Bank Stadium. Pleased to be joined by Brad Ryder. He joins us from the Timberwolves front office. We talked to Brad a lot during the season. Fun to catch up during the summertime. I saw Brad the other day when the media and some fans over at Mayo Clinic Square had a chance to meet Taj Gibson and Jeff Teague, two free agents joining the Minnesota Timberwolves this season. And Brad, a lot of buzz around the Timberwolves.
Yeah, it's been a busy summer, but we're not complaining. I mean, we have had kind of a constant drumbeat of good news coming out pretty much, you know, weekly all summer long. And, you know, it's not over yet. You know, we're going to talk about our courts program here in a little bit. We've got, you know, renovation is fast tracking to a conclusion pretty soon here. We're going to unveil our new jersey coming up, our brand new jersey, our brand new look here sometime in August. And then right after that, we take a trip to China and get the season going.
Yeah, and a lot of excitement. Jimmy Butler trade, more players to be added by Tom Thibodeau and Scott Layden. But the reason you're joining us tonight is a great new program that was announced. And I just think it's tremendous. New era, new courts. The Timberwolves teaming up with U.S. Bank to fix up outdoor courts all around the area. This is outstanding.
Yeah, this is something, you know, Steve, we've wanted to do something a little bit bigger like this for a few years. And you know, for one reason or another, we just haven't been able to kind of come to the finish line with the plan and with the program. And, you know, we were lucky enough to be able to get our friends with U.S. Bank on board to do this. And, you know, growing the game for us as an organization is really paramount. I mean, it's something that we want to do. We want to make this, you know, back into, and obviously we realize that, you know, a successful franchise in getting into the playoffs every year is probably the most important thing to kind of launch that. But growing the game of basketball is paramount for us in the state, and learning the values and the spirit of teamwork and those sort of things. And what better place to do that than to, you know, start revitalizing outdoor courts around the state. And You know me, I'm a greater Minnesota guy. I grew up in West Central Minnesota, and we're not going to forget about, you know, our fans, you know, out in the Wilmer area and Alexandria and Moorhead and Rochester and Duluth and Laverne and all corners of the state. We're all, you know, Minnesota Timberwolves fans, and we want to make sure that we're giving back to those communities as well.
Yeah, and what's great about this program, and I'm sure it'll be the first year of many to come in cooperation with U.S. Bank, to select a court here in the Twin Cities, Rochester and Moorhead to begin with, mm-hmm. and fans can vote on it. It's kind of a neat opportunity for fans to get involved.
We want it. We want to, you know, this is a nice start, and we're excited about the start. But just like you said, I mean, we want to grow this to the degree where we look back on it 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now, where we're not just doing 3 courts. We're doing 5. We're doing 7. We're going into 6 or 7 different markets around the state, like I referred to. Yeah. And we want to make sure that we're, you know, and, you know, you gotta walk before you can run a little bit. And we're gonna walk with this program this summer. And like you said, revitalize a court in Rochester and one in Moorhead and one in the Twin Cities. But we envision this as an opportunity to grow the program and to be able to reach out throughout all corners of the state.
Yeah, and Tyus Jones and Cole Aldrich got involved in helping promote that. And I know at the team website there's a video where those guys talk about what playing outside meant to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we shot that with them about a month ago, and we didn't obviously have to ask you, one of those guys, twice. When we were talking to them about the program, what we wanted to do, they were all in, and they're big supporters of it, obviously, having grown up here in the metro area and now being members of the hometown team. And, you know, it's exciting to have them on board.
Yeah, and fans can go to the website, timberwolves.com/new-era-new-courts. To vote for a local court, voting closes on August 6th. So
August 6th, yep. Yeah. And we've got three courts kind of in the running in each market, three in Rochester, three in Moorhead, and three in the Twin Cities. Whichever court of the three in Rochester gets the most votes, that's the one we'll go in and take care of. Whichever one in Moorhead gets the most votes, we'll go in and take care of. And then the same for the Twin Cities market as well.
Yeah, great stuff, Brad, as always. And I know you're busy. You're coaching baseball right now and doing a ton of stuff with the Timberwolves. And I'm sure we're not done with the press conferences and events coming up. And as we get closer to Target Center being finished, I'm sure there's some announcements coming there as well.
Yeah, for sure. I teased this out to you when I saw this the other day. But real, real soon, maybe as early as next week, we're going to announce some plans for public tours of the almost completed renovation. It won't be completely completed until probably mid-October-ish, but we're getting close enough now where we'd like to offer a chance for the public to come on in and do that. We're going to be announcing some plans about that next week, so maybe I'll get a chance to visit with you next week about that a little bit more.
It is the deal. All right, Brad, good news once again. Timberwolves.com/new-era-new-courts to vote for a local court. You can check out more information in that video from Cole Aldrich and Tyus Jones there as well.
Yep, you bet. Thanks for the time, Steve. Appreciate
it. All right, take care, Brad. There he is, Brad Ryder of the Timberwolves, 9:33 here at CCO. 73 degrees, partly cloudy. Northwest winds at 11 miles an hour. Our dew points in the 50s, 59. We'll have a complete update on the weather.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
9:41, 19 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock. All the news and weather at 10 here on CCO. I will talk real estate. Andy Prasky, you hear him on the Real Estate Radio Hour on Saturday mornings with Denny Long and Chris Rooney. Will join us. What's going on in the real estate market? We're getting into July. Are things going to slow down, or is it still a seller's market? We'll get into that coming up. Right now, we're in the middle of road construction season. You know the old joke. There's two seasons, winter and road construction. Well, we're smack dab in the heart of it, and good enough to join us again from the Star Tribune is Tim Harlow. Of course, he writes The Drive. Tim, pleasure to visit with you.
Yeah, this is getting to be a regular thing.
No, and it's great. I'm glad you're able to do it. I read your stuff all the time because, as I pointed out before, out of my regular job during the week, I have a long commute from northern Hennepin County to southern Hennepin County. I go from Champlin to Eden Prairie 5 days a week, and then I have to make the return trip 5 days a week. And certainly folks with commutes like that know of what I speak. But there's a commute involving downtown Minneapolis and the folks on 35W South. It's going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly soon.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. And it's going to be for 4 years, although, you know, the real impacts will kick in next year. But we'll start seeing some of the effects starting in mid-August.
Now, what have you been able to find? Why did they decide to do this project over a four-year time period?
Well, part of it is just there's a lot of moving pieces, and it's real complicated. I mean, you've got a lot of bridges on that section. You've got old concrete to rip out. They're going to put in a couple of new interchanges, one at Lake Street, one at 28th. So they got to rebuild that whole section there. And they're going to put a transit station in the middle of the freeway, you know, rather than having the bus stops on the sides of the freeway like they have now. So, yeah, it's just a huge project, and it's going to take that long. And, you know, they are going to try to keep the freeway. Well, they're not going to try. They are going to keep the freeway open while this all happens.
Are there going to be lane reductions? I suppose that goes without saying.
Yeah, there definitely will be lane reductions. I mean, if you remember what it was like to drive through that 35W and Crosstown project when they did I think it was around like 2008, 2009. This is going to be a lot like that. So it's going to be a lot of lane changes. Motorists are going to have to pay attention and squeeze through.
Yeah, four years of pain, though, however. So the morning commute in, I would assume that folks are already planning alternate routes, and that's one of the things you do in the drive at StarTribune.com and in the paper, is really talk about that. And hopefully some of these other big projects are going to be done for folks trying to find their way downtown.
Yeah, well, the 94 project that's currently going on, you know, with the Lowry Hill Tunnel, that'll be over, you know, in a September, I think, is when it's supposed to be totally wrapped up. So we won't have to deal with that. But, you know, this 35 project, especially starting next year, that is going to be a doozy. One of the things that's going to close, there's those three lanes that kind of peel off to the left, or the downtown exit that you can get off to 11th Street or 5th Avenue. Those are going to be closed, which means people trying to get from, you know, the South Metro up 35W into downtown, you're going to have to go around and use 3rd Street or Washington Avenue. And we already know that Washington Avenue gets backed up in the mornings. So now you're going to absorb all that 35W traffic. Not going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. And when I'm out in Eden Prairie and I need to work, for instance, tonight, that's one of the routes I take into downtown Minneapolis. So thanks for the heads up on that. So a four-year project beginning. It will begin in August, but that won't be the real pain. Some ramps, I understand, will be closed, et cetera.
Yeah, I think the immediate impacts are going to be for city streets, actually. Portland Avenue, remember they closed that a couple years ago, last year, or 2 years ago. I'm kind of losing track, but they closed that down for the summer when they rebuilt that bridge along with the Park Avenue Bridge. That's going to shut down for 8 weeks. And also the Franklin Avenue Bridge, which is a major east-west crossing, you know, on just south of downtown, that's going to close for 8 months. So those are going to be the two immediate impacts that drivers are going to feel.
All right. You did a piece in the paper about the 94 project, Lowry Hill Tunnel North, all the way up to Brooklyn Center. Is everything going along? Because I drive that a fair amount because I come down here on Saturdays and Sundays from the northern suburbs downtown. So 94 has been a regular route for many, many years, from the days I was traveling from home to the U and ultimately Brown Institute in South Minneapolis, and now to work downtown Minneapolis. It seems to be going in fits and starts, and sometimes it doesn't seem like they're even working along that stretch.
Yeah, it does appear that way, but they are getting it done, and it is on schedule, thank goodness. But you know, you still got another two and a half months to go before they'll start taking down all the cones, and we'll have our full complement of lanes. In fact, in August, when they start putting down the final coat of blacktop, you're going to see weekend closures. You know, westbound and eastbound. So pay attention for that, because it's going to be happening right around, you know, State Fair, right before the State Fair, Renaissance Fest. You got all those August activities going on, and you got a major freeway that's shutting down, and doing that in a downtown area, that's tough.
Yeah, and one of the things you talked about when it came to that project was, were they headed in the right direction by putting that thin layer of blacktop over? And I know it's budgetary. What kind of feedback have you gotten back from that? What have you heard from your readers about their approach to fixing up 94?
Well, you know, some people are a little frustrated that they're not, you know, doing the full repair and everything. But, you know, most people say, okay, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, we've got budgetary constraints, and they really kind of start pointing their finger at the legislature and say, hey, give MnDOT some money so they can do things right. A couple other people have said maybe it's time that we start looking at tolls. But, you know, I don't think that's going to fly.
Yeah, for sure. That would be that'd be a tough one to jump into. That would take a long time to implement. One other project that has a lot of commuters in Hennepin County is is it 7 Mile or 9 Mile Creek? I can never, for some reason I want to call it 7 Mile Creek, but anyway, 169, that bridge down there in what amounts to be Hopkins and Edina. Are they on track? Is that on schedule?
Yeah, they actually are. I actually had a chance to go out there and take a little field trip a couple weeks ago, and they are on schedule. And I know if you drive by, there and look at it, or, some of the overpasses and kind of look over it, doesn't really look like much now, but, they've got all the retaining walls up. They're getting it ready, and starting in August, they're going to start pouring the concrete. So, yeah, they are on schedule to open that thing up this fall.
Is it 7 Mile or 9 Mile Creek?
It's the 9 Mile Creek.
Yeah, thank you.
I actually had a reader write in and ask if we knew why they call it the 9 Mile Creek, and apparently the creek must run 9 miles from Western Hennepin County down to the river, so that's how it got its name.
Yeah, and it shows how much I pay attention. I drive through that area every work day and have been doing it for years, and I can never remember. All right, well, good news on that front. By the way, folks can read your work online, startribune.com, The Drive, and, of course, in the paper as well. Tim, it's always great.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there he is. Tim Harlow, Star Tribune, The Drive. He covers the commute. He covers the roads. He covers transit here in the Twin Cities. Maplewood Toyota time, 9:50 when you need a new car or truck. It's time to check out MaplewoodToyota.com first. 5 minutes now in front of 10 here at CCO. We have all the news, all the weather coming up at 10. We'll talk real estate. Our good buddy Andy Prasky will join us from the Real Estate Radio Hour. What's going on in the real estate market? Is it still a big-time seller's market, or are things starting to loosen up a little bit? We'll get Andy's thoughts on that following the news and weather at 10. Then Doc Riley, we'll talk about the Street Machine Summer Nationals coming to the State Fairgrounds this weekend. O'Reilly Auto Parts brings you that big event. We'll talk about what there is to see and do if you love cars. It's another great event out at the fairgrounds coming up this weekend. That is here on CCO. Friendly reminder, WCCO and Secondhand Hounds are bringing you a Hops and Hounds Summer Brewery Series every Thursday night through September 7th. Make plans to come out to Inbound Brew Company Thursday, July 20th for happy hour from 4 to 7. And bring your pups along. Portion of the proceeds go directly to support Secondhand Hounds. Have a brew and help their mission find a permanent home for animals all over the Twin Cities. The Summer Brewery Tour is sponsored by the Lupient Automotive Group. Quiet night, local sports scene. We had a summer league final today. Golden State beat Minnesota. Their final summer league game is coming up tomorrow, we understand. They fell to 2-2 in the summer league. Lynx back at it Friday night in Phoenix. They host Phoenix Sunday in St. Paul at the X. The Saints played today. They play again tomorrow night. Twins return to play at Houston on Friday night. And the Loons play Saturday night at home.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.